with Andrew McKay. I'm Bobby Rossi, filling in for Andrew this week, and he'll be back on Tuesday. If you'd like to weigh in, text 850-437-1620, 850-437-1620. Looking at the ThreatNet radar real quick, it's already 81 degrees. There's a 70% chance of thunderstorms today. And looking at the ThreatNet radar, looks like probably within the next hour, we'll be starting to get some rain showers in and around the area. Joining us right now on our News Radio 92.3 hotline is Mike Wood, the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, thanks for joining me.
Hey, good morning, Bobby. Good morning, Candy.
Good morning.
So, Mike, one of the top questions I bring up to you is yesterday we were covering how Police Chief Eric Randall was saying that with the recent spat of police shootings, the police department, not police shootings, the recent spat of shootings, the police department can't solve this problem by themselves. They need the community's involvement. And so I wanted to just get your thoughts and more about the recent spat of shootings and like what we as a community could or could not do.
Well, that's right. I believe if you talk to any police administrator anywhere, because this is not a problem that's exclusive to Pensacola or Escambia County, it's a national problem. This is something that we can't, quote, police our way out of. This is by the time the police get involved in this, it's usually too late because the shooting has already occurred. This is something that's got to start way before that, days and months and years before that. And that's is you've got to know who your young men, your teenagers, are hanging out with. You know, they come to a point in life, especially as teenagers, where there's two roads they can take. And one is to be successful or just to simply stay out of trouble. And the other one, of course, is to get into trouble. And if they take that road, then they're destined to fail. So, you know, we need families that know where their kids are, who they're hanging out with, make sure they know what time they're supposed to be home and things like that to hopefully help combat this, because looking to the police to solve this is a recipe that's just not going to work.
Yeah, so let me ask you this, though, because it does seem like a lot of the shootings are still coming around, like when they're being reported, at least. It seems like they're gang-related shootings of some sort or some sort of neighborhood rivalry type of thing, even if it's not gang related. And is that true to say, or is that not really necessarily true?
Well, I think most of these shootings, you're going to see one of two reasons. One is domestic, they're domestic and related, or the other one is narcotics. And like I was saying earlier, if a young man doesn't have a family who embraces him, who cares about where he is, what he's doing, and provides security for him, then a lot of times they turn to people on the street, their friends on the street, who make up that void, that family, the people that will take care of him and that will protect him and provide for him a way to make money, which is usually an illegal way to make money. So, I think you're right there. A lot of times, you know, if you're in the narcotics trade, this is a dangerous situation to be in, and a lot of times it ends up in one of two ways, either death or prison, and which is very unfortunate.
So whenever we have these like round tables about shootings and about gun violence and things like this, that's one of my problems with the round tables, is like you're not inviting the drug dealers to the table. Because that's where the problem is. You know, we're getting community leaders, church leaders, the mayor, you know, on these round tables pertaining to gun violence. I'm like, you guys aren't the ones doing the problem. You need to talk to the people who are involved with it. And so I kind of feel like those are a waste of time sometimes, because they're not really talking to the group that is actually doing the shooting and having these circumstances that are creating an environment for the shootings. So I really don't know what can even occur with that. And so even when they say, well, the community needs to get involved, like how do we get involved when it's drug related type stuff going on?
Well, that's right. But you know what they are doing is the local leaders, pastors, politicians, police chiefs, sheriffs, everybody coming together shows that they do care and they do want to help solve this problem or do the best they can, instead of just laying back with their hands in there going, you know, we don't know what to do. Well, you know, they're going to contribute. What law enforcement and other leaders in the community can do is show that they care and contribute as best they can. But again, this is something that's going to have to come from within the home to put an even bigger dent in it. And, you know, one of the best programs that I've ever seen, and I've spoke about this often, is with the Sheriff's Department, the Blazer Academy. You're taking young men and showing them the positive things in life and the road to go to be a successful person. And I would like to see something like that go, like the DARE program did years ago, into many departments all over the country, because that's just one fantastic way of contributing.
Very good point. I got a couple more questions here for you, Mike. We're talking to Mike Wood, PIO for Pensacola Police Department. First, let's get traffic on the fives with Candy.
All right. It looks like a lot of the stuff is clearing up. I-10 eastbound at Carr City. It looks like that has been moved off to the side, so a little easier to get through there. And a little easier to get through Highway 98 eastbound, too, although I'm showing what looks like three accidents now. But it doesn't look like they're blocking anything. It was down to one lane a little earlier. It still might be down to one lane. Still a little slow. This is near Edgewood Drive east of St. Sylvester's Catholic Church. That's it so far. If you have a traffic tip, text them in 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
One more question for you, Mike, about gun violence before I move on to one other question a listener texted in about, which is when we're talking about the gun violence and everything like this and what we can do and what the police department can do, I kept reading these reports about ShotSpotter in Mobile. And how they really believe that it has helped them with the gun violence in their city. I understand Pensacola is going to be getting ShotSpotter coming here as well. Like, how is that? How does that actually help? Like, from what I understand, all that does is tell us whether there were shots that happened. Like, that's too late. It already happened. But is this something that can help maybe with the gun violence?
Yeah, it's helped every community that's had it, and I'm very familiar with an officer in Fort Myers that they also have it, and the gun violence has gone down in their community. And what that does is there's a lot of times, Bobby, that shots are fired, and we don't know about it for several minutes. And then, victims are hurt, and suspects are fleeing, and ShotSpotter is going to pinpoint that issue, that gunshot, very quickly. That information will come up in the cruisers very quickly, so we can get over there and respond to that. And there are other shots fired calls that we don't even know about that are never even called into us, and ShotSpotter will put it into that in the area that it's working in.
Okay. And then I guess as you start to get on scene faster, then people start becoming aware that this is happening. And then also you can see a trend of where shooting is happening more often and maybe patrol it a little bit more often and frequently and stuff like that, too. And I guess use the data that comes from this. That's pretty cool. So I understand that is coming to Pensacola, right?
Yeah, it's going to be – it's an effort between the Escambia County Sheriff's Office and the Pensacola Police Department. It will be headquartered in the Real-Time Crime Center at the Sheriff's Office, so that's something that's still in the works. But it's on the way to the community, and it's going to benefit the community tremendously.
Excellent. A question from a listener. What can you do to stop all of the people running stop signs and red lights?
Well, that's been I've been in the business 37 years and I haven't seen it stop yet. The best we can do is make sure people understand how dangerous that is. And sometimes you have to write them a ticket for it. And that's something that we don't enjoy doing. But, you know, if you stop somebody for running a stop sign or a light and you look on the computer, you run them and you see that they've done this several times before, they're what we call frequent flyers. You're going to have to write them a ticket. And a lot of other times when people slide through one, they just weren't paying attention. They've never been stopped in their life. And you can tell. You can tell that the traffic stop is probably going to get their attention enough to where they're not going to do it again. But to answer your question, that's going to be up to the driver. That's, again, something that law enforcement is just not ever going to be able to completely stop. The driver, the human being, the person has to take some responsibility there.
Yeah. This texter said they're new to the area and just seemed like there's a extraordinary amount of people running red lights and stuff here. So that's why they brought that question in. But Mike, I appreciate you joining us here as always right here on Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you.